Okay, we've gone around the table and we're starting again. Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I've expressed my concerns about the way this motion is written from the lobster resource perspective. I think a way that I could support this motion would be to include the subsequent motion that Terry indicated was coming up as part of this motion. So I'm going to make a motion to amend, and I can either read the whole motion, or you can just cut and paste it in on it. But I'm going to make a motion to amend that we also include in this motion the wording that when considering sector requests for access to the closed area, the regional office should include inter alia considerations of the potential gear conflicts, shifts in fishing effort outside the closed areas, and impacts to protected and species and lobsters. And if I can get a second to that, I will. I'd like to speak very briefly to it, Mr. Chairman.
Been seconded by Dave Preble.
Okay, thank you. As I stated previously, this whole concept of changing the habitat closed areas and removing certain groundfish closed areas needs to also take into consideration other species that are not managed by this council that can be impacted. And we've clearly sent data to this council and to the National Marine Fisheries Service indicating that there are potential impacts. At the October ASMFC meeting, we will be receiving our technical committee report, impacts of mobile tending bottom gear to lobsters. And we will forward that information to both the council and to National Marine Fisheries Service. I have to admit I'm still reluctant to sort of leave this up in the air to let National Marine Fisheries Service make this decision, and also in light of the fact that the three groups of scallops and lobster and groundfish industry have not come to this agreement yet. I know I'm going to be waiting very patiently for them to come to that agreement and have that letter in hand before we make final decision on this. But with this amendment, if this amendment passes, I'll be willing to support this for consideration so that we can get the analysis, the impact of this in Framework 48 so I can make an informed decision about whether I will support it.
Could I ask Gene or Mitch to give us a non-legal interpretation of inter alia? Not everybody may understand what that means, yeah, and just no. So that's why I would like it understood that.
Yeah. I that's what I'm doing. It means among other things. Yeah.
Okay. Dave Preble, I've got to go back to the audience on this.
Okay, I'll be very, very brief. I want to thank Doug for bringing that up. That helps a lot. I think in response to the one question that he raised, that he's still nervous that it gives too much power to the agency. I think that in this discussion we have been thoroughly clear about our intent, and so I don't have a lot of angst about that. I think we've been thoroughly clear about what we mean here, and I agree with that because although there's an agreement among three different segments of the industry, we do need a backstop to make sure that they live up to it. So I'm pleased with this.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the audience. Anybody like to make further comments? Bonnie?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking for the offshore lobster industry who does fish out in closed area 2, I would like to say that we do support this provision. I thank Mr. Grout for putting that forward. This is something that we are definitely working toward with the groundfish and hopefully the scallop fleet. And it is very close, and I appreciate the council considering the fact that this is an area that we need to protect during a certain time, and the rest of the time, we absolutely support the groundfish people getting in there. Thank you.
Jackie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We support this motion for this provision to be included, and thank you for describing what inter alia is. We're having a small discussion about that in the back of the room. One additional point I wanted to make up that I don't think was stressed enough during this entire discussion you've had is the opportunity law of right now for U.S. U.S. industry. Georgia's Bank haddock, we are just not catching even close to what we can be catching on that very healthy stock. It's really frustrating to the industry year after year to have the track and the TMGC process go forward and to see that the Canadians are catching around 94% of their tack when we're catching 18% of our tack. We have got to use this, especially now in light of the disaster that we have declared in this fishery. We have got to provide opportunities, narrowly focused opportunities, but opportunities to be able to target this and this opportunity. So, you know, there's a huge economic learning. Really frustrating to see the Canadians doing a much better job at that than we do. Thank you.
Anyone else? Back to the council, Matt McKenzie.
I think there's a big question in this about staff resource time. The staff is heavily burdened right now with many other actions that need to be addressed, and I'd like to perhaps hear from Paul, perhaps what resources would be able to be dedicated towards analyzing this if it moves forward.
Well, we have the closed area technical team that will look at this, and that will delay their efforts on looking at the overall groundfish impact on the habitat areas and what the groundfish committee, what they would prepare for the groundfish committee and advisors to look at concerning habitat. So it gets your the mitigating measures done quicker, but the habitat amendment is delayed.
Other comments, questions from the council? I'm going to call a question. Those in favor of the motion to amend. Motion carries 17-0-0. We're back on the main motion as amended. Further discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? 1. Abstention? 0. 16-1-0. The motion carries. Terry.
Thank you, Doug, for dispensing with the next motion. The next one is, after reviewing the PDT identified complications for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder operating area, the committee recommends that Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder area not be redrawn in the sector framework. Carried 901.
Thank you. Tom?
So this motion might seem a little obscure if you weren't at the Crown Fish Committee meeting. Back, I believe it was at the June council meeting, the council passed a motion which was kind of the opposite of this. It said, consider modifying the George's Bank yellowtail flounder area. And the idea here is that the George's Bank yellowtail flounder area is a fairly large stock area, which includes some deep water north of George's Bank where yellowtail flounder are rarely caught. So I think the concept in everybody's mind was to carve out an area on George's Bank where when sectors were approaching their yellowtail limit, or maybe to avoid approaching their yellowtail limit, they could fish in these areas and they would be treated differently. We would have perhaps a different discard strata, or their catch wouldn't be accounted against their ace. It was a little unclear what consider meant. The PDT looked at this idea. We identified a number of issues with this approach. We brought them forward to the committee. We pointed out that it is entirely within sectors, within their operations plans, to modify their behavior to basically accomplish much of the same thing. And the committee agreed with us, and this is basically the reply to the council saying, we considered it, and we suggest not moving forward with it.
Thank you, Tom. Go to the audience. Comments? Ron?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolos, Fishery Survival Fund. I think this is at the point where it might consider a motion, as Dave Goethel suggested, of considering charging the committee and the PDT to identify yellowtail hotspots that could be analyzed for seasonal closures to achieve the SSC recommended suggestion of taking actions to minimize bycatch.
Further audience comment? Vito?
Yeah, we thought a lot about this at the last motion. I mean, at the committee meeting, and it certainly appeared like there's a squeeze the balloon type of effect. You end up with some areas ending up with a much higher rate. So we're not certain that this is going to produce positive results. Additional input controls and seasonal closures are not something that the groundfish industry would be looking forward to supporting at all. It's going in the wrong direction for what we're looking at. But if the PDT has the time to at least show some analysis as to whether this would have any positive effect, I suppose that would be good. But we were pretty convinced at the committee meeting that this may not have the result that some people thought it would. So
does that mean I'm having trouble understanding, are you supporting or not supporting this?
I'd support the committee motion at this time.
Anyone else? Back to the council. Terry Alexander.
I happened to be there at the committee meeting, and it appeared that there's a fairly big area northwest of the bank where the discard rate is really low on yellowtails. 522, it pretty much encompasses the whole of area 522. Then as you get up on the bank, the areas light up more. And it's my understanding that credit discards to you for an area, you're taking the average over the entire area. I guess I'm asking Tom. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. If you might allow me a little liberty to interject here. We have a next motion that talks about the discard issue, the very next motion after this one.
Okay, then I'll just wait till then.
Any other comment, Laura?
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to Terry's point, and Tom and I were just discussing this, is that the idea that your total number of discards of yellowtail might look different if we knew that certain areas don't have the yellowtail in them, so that we could actually take that off the top, but we can't do that unless we have greater resolution on understanding where the discards take place. So I believe that the second motion is going to speak to that. Thank you.
Further comments? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion? Terry.
Committee motion to direct the PDT to develop alternatives to revise the existing sector discard strata for Georges Bank yellowtail flounder. Instead, stratify discards on Georges Bank by statistical area or by groups of statistical areas with the goal of the highest practical resolution. Carried the committee 901.
Committee motion. I'm going to go to the audience for comment. Can't see who's got, who's that, Gib?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gib Brogan with Oceana. I just have a question for the regional office, or maybe the science center on this, is what effect will this have on the observer needs for the fishery as we're moving forward? And I'm hoping that you've got some idea of what your plan is for observer coverage for 2013 and at-sea monitoring for this fishery. What effect does this have on the monitoring needs for the fishery? I don't know whether somebody from the agency can talk about that one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is obviously a consideration that we have to look at very carefully. The finer scale at which we're looking at things, the greater the demand for monitoring, and the resources to stretch. So I guess what we have to do is just look at, if this goes forward, what kind of recommendations come from the PDT, and then we'll have to look at, you know, exactly to what extent we can address the monitoring needs. So my suggestion is that question needs to be front and center, but it shouldn't. The fact that we can't answer that right now should not prevent this analysis from going forward.
Okay, thanks very much.
Anyone else in the audience? Rito.
Vito Giuliani, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We support this motion for the analysis. I think it would be worthwhile to look at it. One of the discussions was how sectors could internally reallocate discards anyway based upon where fishermen fish, but just to be honest, there's one sector manager per sector maximum. It's actually less than an average of one sector manager per sector, and that's going to be a pretty heavy software lift and a lot of work. It's not something that's happening automatically right now, so this would assist that and make it a lot easier on the sectors to determine which members should be receiving the higher rate and who should be receiving the lower rate, and rearranging that. This would simplify it and would make it more automatic. But I guess we got to wait and see what the analysis says. So hopefully the PDT doesn't mind doing that work, because it would be helpful.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Call the questions. All those in favor of the motion? Terry.
Last committee motion. It's not directly related to Framework 48. Is to recommend to the council that the council request NIMS to incorporate the science-based recommendations from the Atlantic Cod Discard Mortality Workshop into ACE tracking for both cod stocks and all gear types beginning in fishing year 2013. Carried the committee 702.
Committee motion, no second. I'm going to go to the audience. Back to the council. Call the question. All those in favor of the motion? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 17-0-0. You're on the roll now.
That concludes my report.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've spent a lot of work, and the Groundfish Committee has done a lot of work trying to, in this framework, trying to mitigate some of the dramatic impacts that we may be facing here next year, and within some very limited constraint, wide or very strong constraints on what we actually can and can't do, and I compliment them for bringing this forward. There's one part of our fishery that's very small that the hook gear fishermen that have been impacted by some of the Amendment 16 regulations and will be dramatically impacted next year by this. And they sent a letter to the council, and I realize it was considered and discussed at the committee, but I'd like to offer a motion for to include one small, hopefully very simple provision that may help this group out as we move forward to 2013. And that is, I'm going to make a motion to include in Framework 48 a provision to change the current trimester tack apportionments for the common pool to a two-period system, with period one running from May 1 to September 30, and period two running from October 1 to April 30. If I could get a second, I'd like to speak to my rationale behind this.
Seconded by Matt McKenzie.
One of the things that has been difficult for this group is they primarily, a lot of them, particularly in the Gulf of Maine, are targeting cod. And when we split up the quota between three periods, it provides for a very, very small quota during that first trimester when they do catch a lot of their cod. Obviously, a lot of these guys are not fishing during the winter because they're in very small boats, generally less than 30 feet. They had made a request when we were putting up the emergency action to completely eliminate the trimesters, but I couldn't even get a second for that. So I'm offering this up as I guess what I'd call that would help out these folks who, again, don't amount to, they don't have very many landings and don't have that much impact on the resource. But they are people that do make some portion of their living on our groundfish species here. And I hope that we will take try to provide some small relief for these vessels in Framework 48. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. And as you and I have discussed, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. And it's not because I think we shouldn't be doing this, but and I had asked Tom earlier how close we were to tipping over the Christmas tree, and he said it was wavering. And I guess, you know, it looks on the face of it like it might be a simple thing to do, but I just don't understand necessarily the amount of analysis and et cetera that has to go on for it. And I just would like to try and put Tom on the spot and ask him essentially whether you think is, just so that people understand that going into this, is this a lot of analysis? Are we really at a point where, you know, we're flirting with or causing the delay of Framework 48?
Well, yes, I think we are. Just, you know, to be honest, we've got a lot of stuff in Framework 48. We haven't made as much progress on some things, and by we, I mean the groundfish plan development team hasn't made as much progress on at-sea monitoring issues as we thought. The addition of the closed area access thing, while much of that work is done by a group called the closed area technical team, there is some overlap between the closed area technical team and the PDT, so it's not like it's a completely independent group. There are some people that are on both. This particular measure is, you know, in comparison to the closed area or the ASM, is not a particularly difficult measure. There are, the motion has passed, I assume, would be changing this for everybody, and I don't have any idea what the impacts would be on other parts of the common pool fishery or other stocks in other areas. And one of the things we would have to do is figure out how to split up the quotas, you know, whether to just do it 50-50, but I don't know. Fishing patterns from different stocks differ from at different times of the year, so 50-50 may not be the way to go for every stock. So I have concerns about getting Framework 48 done, period. This is not an item, but it is, you know, the framework is going to be difficult to complete.
I'm just wondering out loud here, Doug, whether there might be another way to accomplish what, you know, what this wants to do in a more discrete fashion, really focused at the hand gear category. And I'm just wondering whether this is, you know, the concept thing that maybe the groundfish committee could and hone down before it actually goes in some form. I'm trying to suggest some things here.
Well, just to, you know, the long-term big picture with them is that they've been waiting for Amendment 18 as a mechanism to potentially carve out, you know, their allocation. And obviously, we've had the council has recently, last year, decided that had to be a lower priority because of some of the crises that we're facing right now. To me, a very simple thing wouldn't, even less analysis would be to eliminate the trimesters. I mean, we went through the first 2 years of amendments without the trimesters and just let them fish. But now we have that provision in place. And as I said, I tried once before to do that and couldn't even get a second. But I've talked to a number of people on the council here, and it just seems to have more traction than the complete elimination of it. If there's a mechanism for doing something like this outside of this action that would be in place by May 1st, you know, I'm certainly open to it if anybody thinks that can be done. But I knowing the process requirements here, and the heavy workload we already have, I didn't know any other way to get this on the table. So
I'm going to go to the audience for any comments.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Paul Hoffman. I'm one of the hand gear fishermen that Doug had mentioned. hand gear fishery is probably the smallest group in the fishing industry. I think we're down to 6 active fishermen. In 1972, the Marine Mammals Protection Act was enacted. The one marine mammal that they did not put on the list was the small hand gear fisherman. We need some type of break. This summer, the white hake tack was reached, and they shut down our fishery for 3 weeks in the first trimester. So we could not fish for cod or any other groundfish because the common pool had reached the white hake, the white hake tack. We need to some help. Eliminating trimesters would help us. I probably have the smallest fishing vessel in the fleet. I fish in a 20-foot center console. So weather is a major factor for me. The fall and winter, are, as Doug mentioned, the off seasons are out of the question for most of us. I ask you to listen to Doug's proposal and see if you could help us out. Otherwise, this probably may be the last time you talk to a hand gear fisherman at any of these meetings. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. George.
I understand, or I thought, Tom, that the committee was going to go back and look at this particular gear as it relates to at least white hake. Is the white hake catch in the first trimester, I think, was less than 1%. And I had asked the question as to why hand gear was one of the gears that was, you know, shut down when the tack was caught. And I think you indicated you were going to go back and look at that. So I was thinking that the committee was going to continue discussing this in terms of potentially excluding hand gear from the trimester closure because it had such a small catch.
Well, my recollection's a little different. I thought the committee said they'd wait and discuss it at today's council meeting and decide how to proceed.
Anyone else on the council? Tom.
Thanks. I'm just trying to figure out where we ended up with the workload. I support at least considering this. I understand that you know, guys feel like it's really critical to them, and I definitely want, I don't want to move on from it if we can do something good. But the way it's written in Framework 48, and the answer I heard from Tom was that adding anything was not going to allow it to work. So is there an amendment or is there a change to this that's possible so that we can commit to considering it and putting in the next action? It seems like it's a good idea that I think we should look at, but I don't think we can afford to move Framework 48 back.
I mean, you know, you could add some language that it would go in the next available action. Tom, Doug Groughton and Tom Dempsey.
You know, the difficulty with that, as you know, is that it would likely not, it would not get in place before May 1. And clearly, if this fails, then we'll try again in the next action. It'll come up. But it's not going to help them May 1, like we're trying to help everybody else on May 1, when we're going to be seeing these huge, huge reductions. So,
Tom Dempsey.
I can support the concept, but certainly not if it bumps any of the existing priorities of the work items we have in Framework 48. So I'm just trying to think through whether there's a way to do this. If this motion were to pass, is there any way, I know Tom likes to clear the entire to-do list in each action, but is there a way to put this at the bottom of it? And if there is time prior to November action, then we can direct the PDT and staff to work on it. But only after, you know, the other things that are already included as must-move items in the framework. I'd be comfortable with an approach, but if we're going to reallocate staff resources right now, this, if it's going to come above bottom on the line, I don't think I can support it.
Paul Howard. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another consideration might be, this is so insignificant, I think, in terms of the whole common pool tack, looking at just the hook. Do we have any indication of the common pool if they prefer seasons over three seasons? That would help the council vote, right? I mean, those folks that you're talking about are a small majority of the common pool, and how does the common pool feel about this?
I have taken from the council's actions that they did not favor eliminating the trimesters altogether. Council would not even provide a second to me, and I assume that our industry members here and our state representatives did that with the knowledge that there was going to be some objection to eliminating the trimesters completely. So what I was trying to offer up here was something that, because as I understand, there are some people that want to have some quota or landings availability, fishing opportunities available during the winter. So they may want to have some portion of the cod or whatever tax available for the winter. And without the trimesters, or in this case, a semester approach, there's a potential, from what I've been understanding, talking to other people, that they would be, that some of the quotas could be used up before the winter fishery. I think it's for pollock, is what I've been told by certain council members would come up. So that's why I was trying to offer something that would be a compromise that would address the needs of the rest of the common pool. Again, not talking to themselves, but talking to our council representatives that are impacted by that. So, Dave Gazel.
When we had this discussion at the Groundfish Committee meeting, I think one of the meetings, I think it was last year, there were people that came forward from the industry and supported the trimesters because it spread the fish out so that they could fish in the trimester when, you know, they could catch the fish that benefited them the most. So I actually have a question for Tom. In the trimester system, Tom, are the fish just divided up evenly over the three trimesters, or are they differentially divided up somehow?
The trimester system originally came out of Amendment 13, carried over in Amendment 16. They're not divided up evenly. It varies a little bit stock to stock. It wasn't, quite honestly, it was not real rigorously done. It was done with input between the committee and the PDT and what was caught. It hasn't been examined since it was adopted, I don't think.
Well, what I was wondering was, in terms of this motion to make the analysis relatively painless, recognizing that nothing's painless in this process, if we just divided up the fish proportionally, and that would be the analysis. You know, in other words, what's May 1st to September 30th, May, June, July, August, September, that's 5 months. And so, you know, 5/12 of the fish go into that period and 7/12 of the fish go into the rest of the period. If that was specified in the motion, would that simplify things somewhat?
Any thoughts on that or not?
Yeah, that would, sorry, I was thinking of something else. Yeah, I think that would make it a little easier. At least we wouldn't have to sort through that.
Then I would suggest to the maker and the seconder of the motion that they might want to add that to the motion to make this more palatable to the council for inclusion in Framework 48. In other words, simplify the analysis.
I'm certainly willing, Mr. Chairman, to make that amendment, that it would be that the allocation of the quotas of the different species just split up 5/12 during period one and 7/12 during period two, unless there's, you know, some problems with that. But whatever would make it simple and easy for the analysis to be done so that the Christmas tree doesn't topple over. Tom?
You know, maybe this is prompted because of Sue's comment a couple minutes ago. Maybe a better approach is to hone in on where the problem is, which is the hand gear guys, and the issue that led to the closure of the hand gear guys was a whitehead catch, and they catch very small amounts of whitehead. They catch, I think, of the vessels that were in the common pool, they brought in roughly 3% of the whitehead into the common pool. Over the last couple of years, they've been catching maybe 1% of the whitehead that's caught by the common pool. So one approach that might be easier to do and might be more focused is you just say that, you know, the hand gear A guys are not subject to any closures due to whitehead. Now, that doesn't necessarily solve the problem for other species. They may still run into the problem with Gulf of Maine cod next year, where there's a closure in a trimester period because of Gulf of Maine cod. I'm not sure what the hand gear A guys' catch of Gulf of Maine cod has been in recent years, but they account for on the order of 15 to 20%, it varies a little from year to year, of the PSC that's in the common pool. So, I mean, they're actually a pretty big chunk of the Gulf of Maine cod that's brought into the common pool. So, you know, exempting them from the tack period may not make sense for Gulf of Maine cod, but maybe this is an easier way for whitehead. It only solves it for one stock, and, you know, if there's another stock next year, then we might be back in here again. But just offer that as a suggestion.
I think that's a good suggestion, Doug.
Yeah, Tom, so if we were to do something like that, is that going to be less analysis for you in Framework 48 to sit there and exempt that gear than this type of a motion? Is that what you're saying, that would not cause the Christmas tree to trip over?
Well, I think it would be less analysis because we'd be, as was mentioned here, we'd be talking about measuring impacts on a lot fewer boats. We already know what their catches are, so, you know, we'd have to speculate, well, what if their whitehead catches go up? But, I mean, they're not having any catches at all to speak of. I think it would be easier. It avoids the issue of maybe there are common pool boats that like the trimester tack system. But it's not a blanket solution. It gets them out of the whitehead problem. There could very possibly be other stocks that we could readily identify that we could add to the list. They don't catch flounders, you know. So you could say you're exempt. They may already be exempt from that one. I don't know. But you could say that, you know, we could take a quick look at what the catches have been in groundfish, identify the ones they don't catch, and say you're exempt from the trimester tax for these species, which is consistent with the approach used on the trimester tax generally, the philosophical approach behind it. The trimester tax don't affect people that don't catch species.
Doug?
So if we were to have the PDT look at the species that they could potentially be exempted from the accountability measures for the trimester tax, would that be a light lift for you?
Pretty light, yeah.
Okay. Then if I can withdraw my motion, if the seconder agrees, and I'll make another motion.
Without objection. Consider it withdrawn.
So then if I might, Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to include and have the PDT do analysis to include in Framework 48 provisions that would exclude the hand gear A and B from the accountability measures for white hake and other species that they see that the hand gear A lands very small amounts of without having a percentage. I don't I have to use a sort of a crow, a very rough motion here.
I'm not sure that's the exact wording. I would think that you have to eliminate them from the in-season AMs of the end of the season.
I'll accept that perfection. Sorry about that. And other species that the hand gear has insignificant catches of.